Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Fundamentals Podcast. I am your host, Harley. Joining me on this episode, a very special bonus episode, it's host of the Basement Podcast, Ryan Astrike. Ryan is back to talk with me about How I Met Your Mother. Now, I know what you're thinking. Harley, you've already done an episode on How I Met Your Mother, so why are we here again? Well, simply put, I had so much fun with Ryan talking about this show, and I just about finished the series before we hopped on to have a conversation, and just had so many thoughts. As well as that, and more importantly, one or two of you out there on Twitter pointed out a few things that you were a bit disappointed that we didn't discuss, so we couldn't let that hang either. It was a lot of fun talking with Ryan, and I've not put any clips in this episode because I've already done that, and I'm in the process of wrapping up the final episode of the sitcom summer series, as well as getting some amazing guests for you in future episodes. So it's very busy over here, and this episode is just light and breezy, and I hope you guys enjoy it. One quick thing I should mention before we get into it, we did have some issues with recording in Zoom, so if the audio sounds, I don't know, a little janky at times, well, that's basically because Zoom was playing up. I've done my absolute best to fix it, so it doesn't really impact the episode itself. Now that's enough from me. Let's get straight into the episode. This is How I Met Your Mother Part 2 with Ryan Astrike. Hello, Ryan, and welcome back to the Fundamentals Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me back. This is great.
I know, man. I'm really excited about this because, well, I was going through the How I Met Your Mother rewatch. I think the last time we spoke, myself and my wife were going through it, and I just sort of felt the need to reach out and do a little bonus episode on it because it's a lot, you know, it's a lot to cram in a couple of weeks, but I find myself just falling in love with the show, man. I thought it's so good. And I'll tell you the moment that it really hit for me was, we talked about it in the previous episode, but it was when you had the countdown and it was Marshall's dad died. And it's such an impactful episode. But it's just as we were watching it and then the way the countdown is very, it's very covert how they do it. They just sneak in all these numbers in, like, you know, door numbers and jackets and files, and I was just, as it was happening, I found myself getting more and more tense, even though I knew what was coming. I was just like, oh, this is brilliant. And I thought, right, I've got to reach out and set this up. So, oh, such a good show. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those, it hit me so hard that it really is the perfect kind of blend of comedy and drama in so many ways.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that particular episode, I know we touched on it last time, that one is one that always kind of sticks with me as, like, when I think of the show, that's one of those moments that you know, the whole episode is great with the countdown, yeah. But then you've got the part with obviously Marshall's father passing away and everything, and, you know, just knowing, especially knowing the facts behind the episode where, you know, as we mentioned, you know, Marshall didn't know about that scene at first, so that was a genuine reaction. He just went for it, and you could tell it's that raw emotion and everything. But that whole episode, it's so fun because you're thinking, like, oh yeah, great things are happening, you know, all throughout, and, you know, things are looking up and up, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh whoa, like, and that's real life, you know. And that's what I think is so great about the show, is it brings those real life moments into the show so well.
Yeah, it absolutely does. It's that really funny blend of kind of random comical moments, you know, and I think the show is very tongue in cheek with that, and that it'll even call itself out and be like, look, this is how so-and-so swears it happens. And you're like, yeah, okay, whatever. It's just very fanciful. But then at the same time, like you said, it's rooted in really powerful moments like that. And yeah, just knowing the behind the scenes, like the facts you gave me last time, it just hit me really hard because of everything you said the last time and how they had no idea what was coming and the build up to it. And like you say, it's that real hilarious blend of sort of silly comedy gags. I mean, like, you know, there's a B plot in that movie where they found Barney's doppelganger, and that's a whole thing. But then, like, it's then obviously doesn't take away from the impact of what happens. And I kind of feel like it's a good summary of what the show is, of of how life can sometimes have these crazy stories, these bizarre moments that you look back on and go, did that happen? Was that, you know, but then obviously other things happen, the bigger things, whether it's losing someone or whether it's getting married, having kids, all of that stuff is still going around you. So.
Right. Exactly. And I mean, they touch on that so many times throughout the show. Even the ending of the show is exactly that too, you know, with, with Tracy dying, you know, and the kids coming back to Ted and being like, hey, you know, this has never been a story about you, how you met mom. This has been a story about how you met Aunt Robin, and you've always had this thing for her. And they really, really did a nice job of that, especially I think in the last season too, where, you know, they're playing up the fact that no matter what, Ted is always going to be enamored and in love with Robin. No matter who he's with, it's always Robin is always there. And so he always kind of goes back to her. Even in the last season, he was almost trying to sabotage the wedding, you know, between Barney and Robin as well. And, you know, I thought it was a pretty cool little thing. I had just finished a rewatch myself, and I'd never caught this before, but when there's an episode near the end of season 9 where Robin and Ted are sitting on the beach and he's holding her hand and says, you know, I have to let you go. Eternal Flame by the Bangles, if I'm not mistaken, is playing. And I was like, wait a minute. So they foreshadowed this thing and kept playing with it, and you don't realize it, which I thought was fantastic.
Yep, that's so true, man. And I find myself actually this time around getting to the end of it. I think when the final beat of the final episode happened, I just turned to my wife Abigail. I was like, that's perfect. Like, actually, I was very on the fence before, but like thinking about it, it's like, nah, this works. I couldn't see it ending any other way.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, it's one of those things. I know I had mentioned how we had that group chat when the show was live and everything previously, and some people were on the fence about it and some people were not. And I personally loved the ending, but I was never a big fan of the way they did the final season. And I think watching it live, you know, kind of hurt it a little bit, because you'd kind of forget things as, you know, a week would pass, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas binge watching it, I think, helps season 9 to a point, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a packed series, the last one. So much happens in a weekend, you know? But it does well. Like, it sort of ties up a lot of loose ends and moments. There's even like a little montage where they talk about some of the ancillary characters that have been around in the background, and it's like, oh yeah, and this is where they ended up. And so, yeah, like you say, it ties a lot of things together. And I think you're right, watching it quite close in succession works better for it, because you see it all coming together. Whereas, like, yeah, I can imagine watching it over like half a year essentially would kind of, you go, wait, what, who was that again? And it might kind of lessen the impact.
Exactly. Yeah, it was harder to kind of, like, you'd remember certain little things or certain bigger moments, I should say, but the little things you'd kind of forget about. And it's like, yeah, all right, I feel more, I guess, involved in the storyline, you know, as you binge through it, and you kind of connect more, especially with the mother, with Tracy. You get more of her backstory, and sure, you got that, you know, before, but you never really lined things up properly, you know, and this binging it, to me, is the best way they told the story properly.
Yeah. I mean, I'd forgotten they actually gave her a whole episode and sort of explained everything that had happened to her in the previous years. And it was brilliant. I just thought, oh, okay. And like you said, then you see the threads of how her life is actually quite closely connected to theirs. And you do, I think, you get a fair amount of her and Ted, you know, in the last few episodes. You do get to see them have a life together and have these big moments. They're very good at kind of giving you these bites of the big moments in their life, whether it's having kids, whether it's getting married, you know. So you at least get to see that fulfilled.
Right, exactly. And like, you get to see that, you know, you had Marshall and Lily, who had that perfect relationship, and they got married and then they had the kid, you know, whereas Ted and Tracy didn't. They actually had their kid first. They actually had two kids first before they even got married. And it was like, oh, well, that happens in real life. You know, you're not always going to have, you know, the normal thing, we'll call it the quote unquote normal, you know, get married, then have the kid, you know? So it kind of just added another layer of real life into the story too.
Yeah, for sure. And even as you said with Robin, I noticed she kind of becomes like almost like a mystical figure by the end. In like the last few episodes, she sort of just disappears from all of their lives, which makes sense. Again, like, you know, she even says, I think she has a scene with Lily where she's like, you know, this is what happens, you know, life changes and, you know, there's so much that's gone on in this group and she's got a job offer and she doesn't really want to be around her ex-husband all that much, which you can completely understand. So yeah, it's kind of sad, but I think again, it makes it all the more satisfying when she comes back right at the very end.
Right. Well, and you have like the growing up together where it's, you know, yeah, we've had our 20s and 30s together, but now we're in our 40s and I have my career, you have your kids and your career, you know, and it's a finding that fine balance of keeping your friends together, but also advancing life, you know, and that's ultimately what the whole story, the whole show has been about, is about this advancement of life and where you're going on this journey, you know.
Absolutely. And I don't know, I'm kind of hopeful for them by the end. I feel like they've both grown enough as characters that you're like, yeah, I could see this working. They've both matured and they've experienced, you know, love and loss in different ways. And so you think, hopefully, it would work out in the end.
Well, and you even had that moment, you know, right before the wedding where Robin is basically kind of panicking almost and saying like, you know, I should be with Ted. Like, he's the one that I should be with the whole time. I don't know. He's the one that's always there for me. I don't think this is going to work out with me and Barney. And then sure enough, 3 years go by and they get divorced and everything. And then a couple of years later, obviously Ted's now returning back because that's the way it has always been. It's always been Ted and Robin.
Yeah. And I feel like as well, given how everything goes out with the wedding and Ted wants to move on, I don't know, for me, it just felt kind of perfect that he then met his wife, he then met Tracy, you know, because it's that classic thing that people say of, oh, when you're not looking, that's when you find the right person. And, you know, and that's exactly where he is at that moment. He's kind of like, I'm done with all of this. I just want to move and go on and have a completely different life. And then a very nice old lady at a train stop gives him a nudge, you know, and it's like, oh, it makes sense that it's just that little push he needs. And he thinks, oh, okay, all right. You know, doesn't expect anything from it.
Yeah, he's sitting there saying like, you know, yeah, she's great and all, but I'm not going to go back to go, you know, I'm not running back to the wedding. I'm leaving. I'm going to Chicago. I'm moving to Chicago tomorrow. And part of that was he didn't want to be around Barney and Robin being married because he, you know, he was afraid of being the fifth wheel, so to say, in some aspects. He didn't want, he always wanted Robin and he wasn't able to have her, especially now that she's married, you know? So he's like, you know what, let me go get a new life. I'm not going to worry about it. And then sure enough, there's Tracy with the yellow umbrella and they're meeting. I love that, you know, where it's just raining. She's standing there and the TM, the initials going back and forth aspect of it. I thought that was so well done and so funny.
Yeah. It's really kind of lovely. And even like you see them sort of dating like the first couple of times and how they get to know each other and the whole thing just feels different, which is great. And by then at that point you think, well, Ted's as a character has grown and has, I think, learned to stop trying to force relationships and force it. You know, that's kind of, I think the thing he learns through most of his 20s and 30s is he's desperate to find this person, this like almost like mythical being. And it's like, you know, and I know people like it. I think we all do. We know people that are like, you know, I'm sick of being single, man. And you're like, and it's hard when you're in a relationship because you have to say to somebody, well, you have to stop looking, which seems counterintuitive. But like this is a great example of just like the moment he was almost like thrown in the towel, you know, destiny, fate, whatever you want to call it. It was like there, he's open to the idea. And it just happens organically, you know.
Exactly. And then there's the moment shortly thereafter, like basically the next day, where Marshall and Lily show up at the bar. They're like, what are you doing here, Ted? Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm not going. I met a girl, and they're just like, oh, jeez, come on, really? We're going to do this again? Mm. But then, you know, he decides to break the rule of waiting 3 days, you know, as they mentioned a couple times, and calls her and asks her, do you want to go to dinner? And the look on Lily's face, she's just like, no, this is different, you know? And it's just like, yeah, it is different, because you could just tell this was going to be destiny, you know, as you put it, you know, this was where Ted was meant to go on his journey.
Yeah, and I feel like they did a really good job of writing and obviously performing how their interactions went, and his whole demeanor I just felt was really different. I don't know about you, I think you get the sense in the previous episodes, or previous series I should say, that there's almost like this manic kind of desperation that's under the surface with him, or the whole whereas like when you finally meet him and he's on the phone and he's talking with her in the street, he just seems a lot more relaxed and self-assured, and you're kind of like, that's how it should be, you know, and that's why, because he's not trying to force anything.
Because he's not having to try, he doesn't want to just have a one-night stand or a hookup, you know, he's like, I'm in this for the long haul. I love how they basically made her a female Ted in a lot of ways, you know? And they played off of that so well, and they played against each other so well, which was great too.
Yeah, again, I try not to butcher her name once more. Where has she gone? Kristen Milioti.
I think that's her.
No, she's wonderful. Yeah, and again, I just love that they gave her a fair amount of play in those episodes, and I mean, to do like 8 seasons worth of backstory in one episode, and she carries the weight of some of the loss and the things that her character goes through really well.
I mean, especially with the boyfriend that she was waiting to meet, you know, on her birthday, and he apparently passes away. We never find out exactly what happened, but obviously it's assumed that he died. And, you know, she even says at one point that you really only have one true love in your life. And to some degree, I think that still holds true, even though she meets Ted and she's happy. Mm. I think she's always kind of holding on to that little bit of her past, because she had the ukulele with her.
Yeah.
You know, so and sings, and, you know, you have Ted hearing her voice for the first time, but never seeing her. And so she's always kind of, you always had that little trinket to hold on to the past and everything. So in some ways, even that little bit was foreshadowing the ending as well. In some aspects of Robin, or Ted going back to Robin with the blue French horn, and just, you know, the iconic standing there holding it up for her.
Yeah, absolutely. So just, loved all of that. Switching gears slightly, something I wanted to talk about, because it was pointed out on Twitter by previous guest Claire, and I thought, how did we miss this? Thank you, Claire, for bringing it to our attention. The slap bet.
Yeah, I had that written down as well. To give her a shout out on that too.
Absolutely. Just one of the best recurring gags. And I can't remember who, I'm really sorry, I can't remember which guests and on which episode we said this, but physical comedy has come up quite a few times. In, I think more or less all of the episodes we've done. And I can't remember who said it, but they basically said that, you know, physical comedy is an art form. Like, it's really easy to get it wrong. It's very hard to get it right and to make it truly funny. And I think the slap bet is an example of two comedy actors, Jason Segel and Neil Patrick Harris, respectively, just doing a masterclass in physical comedy. It's so good. Like, every time it comes up, you're so excited for it. And it never lets you down.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to one of the earlier slaps in the Slapsgiving episode, and he's got it starts off the episode, and it's just this dark, you know, room, and Marshall's just like, go to the website, you know, and he tells him, and it's just a countdown.
Yeah.
It's just like this, like, what is going on? And then you finally realize, you're like, oh, man.
Yeah. it's all the build-ups they do. In, like, every episode, there's a massive build-up, and you know, both of them are just having so much fun playing off of it, you know, of just like teasing one another and wincing. And like Barney just has like a meltdown by the end of every episode.
So, and I know there's a part in season 9 where they basically start the episode off with a really super, super slow-mo of Marshall swinging at Barney. And then it goes into, he misses him. And then you have Marshall, you know, went to Shanghai, and he spent a whole year learning from the masters, and it's You know, I love how they used Robin, Lily, and Ted as the three masters to learn and everything. And just the slap bat in general is just a great idea. I wish, you know, not gonna lie, I've proposed it once or twice. It never has gone into fruition, but you know, if you're gonna bet something, instead of betting money, why not just bet a slap? It's a lesser hit. It's sort of, you know, pardon the pun.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah, I might try and propose it. I don't know how well it'll go down, but it's worth a try. But yeah, you're right, that really got me, man. That whole like sort of Asian action movie parody, and just like you said, the build up and the slow-mo, and it's to me, it's also the delivery, because like Jason Segel like always really does like a full body swing, and Neil Patrick Harris just like flops like a ragdoll every time, and it's just so satisfying when you're watching it, like, as well, like the build up, it's worth the build up, you know?
Right, and then you get the handprint on the face and everything, like almost every time, except I feel like the only time they didn't do the handprint was the final one at the wedding, you know, which I thought was like, okay, he just kind of held back a little bit, I think, you know?
Yeah, but I love how that was the final one as well. Like, he's having a mini freak out at the altar. He just bang, like, just, and it's like, stay where you are. He's like, oh, it's, yeah, absolutely brilliant. So once again, thank you, Claire, for bringing that to our attention. Absolutely worth mentioning.
And I love too that they even played it off that Mickey, Lily's dad, turned that into a board game as well.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Oh, Mickey's dad. Yeah. Mickey, who is he played by? I know.
Christopher Elliott.
That's the right. Yeah, because he's in everything, Christopher Elliott. He's one of those comedy actors. He's just, I think he's wonderful. And yeah, I love that running gag of like every time they meet him and there's some sort of adventure or thing that goes on, he inevitably turns it into some kind of inappropriate board game for children.
And then eventually, I mean, eventually they kind of almost give him more heart, and they have, you know, they like tone that back down because now he's a grandfather and everything. But then you also have him now hooking up with Marshall's mom. That's an interesting combo.
Yeah, and I feel like, because I thought that was just gonna be played off as a one-off for an episode, but then there's like flash forward to them in Italy and they're like, oh, they're still a couple. It's like, oh, yeah. That must be interesting. Very strange. But I mean, speaking of kids and stuff, I feel like Barney's wrap-up was really good. I forgot how emotional it was, because I'd sort of been a while since I'd seen only a handful of episodes, and I knew that Robin and Barney eventually divorced, but I'd forgotten what happened to Barney. I thought, well, surely he can't just regress and just be that guy again, because that's not a very satisfying thing for an audience, you know, if you're like, oh, he's exactly the same.
Right. Well, I mean, he has those moments too where he is the same, and he even, you know, he shows up at the Robots versus Wrestlers and he's like, yeah, I went for a perfect week previously and now I've got the perfect month and it happened. Yeah. And, you know, I got 31 women to sleep with me, and then but 31 is pregnant, and he's like, yeah, whatever, you know, this is gonna be, you know, not that big a deal. Then it's like, Mr. Stinson, your daughter's here, and just him just holding the baby and just, you are my everything as a dad. I remember that moment, you know, that first, you know, moment where it was just she and I in the room, and it's like, you know, I took two fingers, rubbed them on her cheek, and said, there daddy's here, you know. And it was perfect, and you know, it was like I felt that emotion, you know, having gone through that. So I know what Barney's feeling, and I'm sure any father who watches that scene knows that, you know, that feeling as well, of just pure elation, pure joy. And you kind of see Barney finally come out of his shell, and like you had him coming out of his shell when he was with Robin, things didn't quite work, but now he has a new purpose in life, and it's his daughter. And it's like, it's so great, because he's sitting there at the bar with them, with everyone, and you see two girls walk by, and he's like, oh, I'm going to go hit on, you thought he's going to go hit on him. And he's like, no, you two need to stop drinking on a day drinking on a Thursday and go home, change your clothes, go call your parents, you know? And he becomes that guy, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, it's great. And it's a nice way to wrap up his character. And
yep,
it kind of makes sense as well, because, you know, looking at it from a very realistic point of view, you can't be as promiscuous as he is without having some kind of consequence. And I kind of like that they gave him a consequence, but they also gave him one that made him turn around as a person and sort of, like you say, look at life differently and change his whole outlook. I thought it was a really lovely wrap up for that character.
Exactly. Like, yeah, I think that was the perfect ending for Barney. I mean, you kind of almost had the perfect ending for almost everyone with exception to Robin until the very last second, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. Like we were saying earlier, she's kind of like this ethereal, elusive figure sort of by the end, because of course she is, you know, after everything they've been through. Again, it makes sense that she wouldn't want to be around.
Yeah. She goes more into her career and life and traveling and everything. Whereas, you know, Ted has Tracy, Lily and Marshall obviously have their children, and he becomes a judge finally again. And then he starts running for what, Senate, I think, or
yeah, I think so.
Mayor or something like that. And so it's like, all right, so they're all advancing, and Robin's advanced in her career, obviously, but she never advanced in the love life. And then right at the very end, it's like, oh, there's Ted. He's there again for her as he's always been, yeah. You know, and it's like, oh, all right, well, now she's getting her happy ending, you know, is what I like to think.
Yeah. And, you know, it's something that her character makes quite clear in a lot of the early seasons, and why quite a few of her relationships don't work is because she's very committed to her goals of wanting to travel and wanting to have this career. So it's kind of nice that they give her that, you know, that she goes off for like a decade or so and does all the things she wants to do.
And they even, you know, mention it multiple times that she's not able to have kids. And there's that whole episode where it was from her point of view, and you thought she had kids, you know, with someone. And then it's like, oh, no, they were not real. And they just fade away. And she's sitting there on the park bench drinking eggnog, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought that was a really well-handled episode as well, because it deals with quite a serious subject matter. And it's that thing I think she says of, you know, now that it's taken away and she has to grieve. And it's like, it's quite interesting, you know, for a character who insists that she doesn't want kids and never wants them. And so when the option's removed, it's like, oh, hang on a second. And it sort of makes her reevaluate her whole thought and feeling on the matter. I thought that was a really good episode and an amazing performance by Kobe Smulders in that.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was another, you know, just another touching moment throughout the course of the show, really.
Yeah, thinking about the relationships, I was wanting to get your opinion on this, because towards the end, I mean, you mentioned that beach scene with Ted and Robin, which I thought was really lovely. They kind of talk about past relationships, and they, you know, they talk about Ted and the top five and the best and worst. So I wanted to know, like, what are your sort of takes on that?
I mean, I thought Robin kind of nailed it when she first, you know, gives her, because she gives her top five, and she says, you know, Victoria was your best girlfriend that she had experienced, you know, other than, and she never mentioned herself too, from what I recall. So it was like, oh, well, that's kind of weird, you know. But at the same time, you could tell, like, she's seeing it as, you're my best friend, I don't want to think of it that way, you know. I think you've had better relationships. Where, and, you know, again, Victoria, I thought, was perfect for Ted. And I even loved that they brought her back. They had Ted run off with her. You know, she left her wedding and everything. Mm. And they got back together. But then it came back to, ultimately, you know, you can't be friends with Robin and marry me. And he chose to still be friends with Robin. He's like, I can't give up Robin to marry you. As much as, you know, it would have been perfect, I thought that was kind of nice. And then you have the opposite, where Ted is kind of basically proclaiming his love one last time, saying, you know, it's always been you. It's never not been you.
Yeah.
What more do you want from me? And he's just like, I can't keep doing this. I'm moving to Chicago. You know, and is basically where he got to.
Yeah. No, fair enough. And yeah, I think it's the whole thing with Victoria, I thought was really sad, but
yeah.
It, like you said, I think coming back to what we were saying earlier, it was only when he was sort of finally ready to let go of Robin and let go of that, that he was able to then move on and meet the right person. So,
right,
you know, yeah. So who knows, you know, in terms of the character, had he gone the other way and decided to move and marry, that would have been the end of it. But Yeah, I think Victoria's definitely at the top. She's the one, she's probably one of the more compatible ones. I mean, certainly their first encounter is almost like very fairy tale like, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. When they're at the wedding, and it's just like, oh, we're not going to give names. We're not going to kiss. We're not going to do anything. And all right, just close your eyes. And then she's gone. And then you have Ted kind of scrambling, trying to find her and everything. That's like, it's perfect. And then she sees him walk in and, oh, thank gosh, you know, I'm so glad you figured it out. And it's just like, okay, you're super happy. And then it's like, yeah, this is great. Like, I'm feeling elated. Like, just, you kind of get that feeling again of happiness. And then, you know, of course it gets pulled out with Marshall and everything. So
yeah, exactly. And then their sort of relationship sadly breaking down because of opportunities and the whole thing with the wedding. I forgot she comes back, so that was quite a shock. I was like, oh, okay, and how are they going to play this? And
the was it Hans, I think is his name. And I can't remember the actor's name. Lennon, I know, is his last name. Thomas, maybe. Or maybe. John? No, not John.
I want to try and find him now. But yes, I think that whole dynamic is really funny.
From Reno 911 and everything. Like that's what I think of when I see him. But yeah, I thought that he always seems to play that kind of character too. You know, he tends to play I could play up a German accent, and he does it so flawlessly.
Thomas Lennon was the guy. I just looked him up. Yeah, you're right. Just barely in it for a couple of episodes, but yeah, very, very funny. And it's kind of interesting that then their relationship, like you said, it ends because of Robin, and it comes back to that thing again. And I think her last words, Victoria's last words to him, I hope you get her one.
Yeah, exactly. Which is like, that was perfect. You know, I thought that was a nice little ending, you know, and it kind of finally sends off the whole Victoria timeline, essentially the whole storyline.
Yeah, because like you said, she's kind of the one you can see as potentially being the mother, and from what you said last time, that could have ended up going that way anyway, so kind of makes sense that they have to move that character along at a certain point.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you almost as if you know, she was that first girlfriend, if we will. Yeah. You know, and you always remember your first, essentially. But you're always not, you're most likely not going to end up with the first unless you're Marshall and Lily, essentially.
Right, exactly. But yeah, I mean, he definitely had a pretty poor choice along the way. You were talking about some of the bad ones. I mean, which one do you think was kind of the worst? I feel like a lot of them were very self-destructive.
That's a tough question because, like, you know, I could see where things were going with Zoe and it would have been a good choice. But at the same time, it's like the way it ended is so awful that you really feel bad for Ted. I mean, that's a tough question, to be honest. I'd really have to think. I don't know who the worst, like who, not necessarily his worst girlfriend, but I mean, at the same time, you could almost throw Robin in there.
Yeah.
You know, cause like, it was kind of playing off what we had talked about earlier, where she kind of keeps Ted on a hook, you know, to some degree, and keeps like, well, I have a problem, can you come help me, you know? And like, sure, you're best friends and everything, but then she always I think knows that he has feelings for her too.
Yeah, I think she's probably unintentionally quite damaging, because at least you know, Ted knows what he wants. And so it's kind of like, yeah, you're playing with fire if you're hanging around with somebody like that. And, you know, I think we can all think of relationships, people we know where that's been the case.
Yep.
So, yeah, you're right. You could put that in there. I'm just trying to find, what's the one from college that he has? People are screaming at their podcast right now.
They are. Oh, my gosh. I'm blanking.
I'm scrolling.
It's the girl that played Donna on That 70s Show.
Yes, I think you're right.
Oh man, what was her name? Because it's like you get her and then she disappears and then she just kind of pops up randomly throughout.
And she's just terrible. I'm trying to find her. It's not Karina, is it?
No.
No, that's I don't know who Karina is, sorry. Oh, this is good podcasting.
Oh, hang on. It's Laura Prepon, I know is her name.
Okay, you'll find her.
What was her character name is what I'm trying to remember.
Many hours later.
Because she is terrible, like, by all accounts. Like, she just, she cheats on and with him, like, on more than one occasion.
But I think, obviously, they played that up, of course, to a good degree, obviously, as well. You know, which, that's the way it needs to be.
Yeah, and it taps into Ted's pretentious side, you know, and that's kind of the appeal. But yeah, it's incredibly destructive for him at the same time. I think that one did a lot of damage. But then I don't know if you could say that was the worst one, because
Karen,
that's it.
Yes. Why could we not think of Karen? Because, you know, that's the polarizing thing right now.
that is the universal symbol. Man. But anyway, yes, appropriately named, shall we say, Karen.
Foreshadowed that, I think.
I think they did. I think they must be responsible in some way or another for that. Yeah.
Yeah, you almost want to believe that that's the case.
Sorry, everyone, that took us so long. But yeah, she's truly, truly terrible. But again, you can kind of argue with like that that's a kind of relationship where you know it's not going to last. You know it's terrible. And of course, they have all the flashbacks. So there's like, Ted has no excuse for being in that one. That's like, no, that's on you, buddy. You know,
it's such a one-sided relationship. And yeah. Ted is all about her. And she's just like, whatever, you know. Yeah. I'm not in this for love, you know. She's just there. And then like you said, they have so many flashbacks. I just think of when they're in Paris and you have the picture, she's kissing some other guy in the background. Yeah. It's like, what?
Exactly. So you kind of like, well, that's on you, bud. You you should have seen that one coming. But yeah, sorry, go on.
I was going to say, but everyone has that sort of relationship at some point, most likely. So, true. You know, it adds in another level, you know?
Yeah, it's more of like an infatuation than it is a relationship, isn't it?
Yep.
I mean, talking about Zoe, I think that's another one you could argue is, you mentioned it just a minute ago, the way that ends is pretty brutal. You know, he kind of gets blindsided there. But at the same time, like, it's kind of, I feel like it's a doomed one from the start. Because you're like, well, she's married and she's very, you know, cantankerous, I think. You know, she's one of those people that is just looking for a fight, looking for a cause. And Ted's right in the middle of it. So it's like, it's not going to end well. You know?
Right. She wants to be the perfect person and, you know, always needs to protest something. And they even mention that at the end, too, where she's like, let's save the hawk that's in the... in the park, and then the hawk attacks her. You know, it's like that was great.
Yeah,
but I mean, yeah, it started out with Ted, you know, basically needing to take down the building, and you know, she was at first like his biggest adversary throughout the whole show, I think. And then you have it actually happen, and then there's like, okay, well now they're dating, and it's great, and things are looking up. But then it's like, well, no, we're going to pull the rug out from under Ted and kind of sabotage his career in some ways.
Yeah, this is it. And it's, again, I feel it comes back to that whole theme of Ted and him learning that sometimes you just can't force things. You know, you need to be on this sort of even ground if you're going to try and make something happen.
That, or you need to be like Barney and have the bro code, you know?
Yeah.
Or not the bro code, the playbook.
A playbook.
Yeah, you need to have the playbook.
Oh my goodness. I bet that exists. I bet someone out there has made it.
It does actually. I actually have the bro code and the playbook. They made them into books. Yeah.
Amazing.
I mean they actually featured the bro code in one episode as well, where Barney mentions, you know, yeah, it's taken over some of the Bibles, the Gideon's Bibles in certain hotels. It's now available. So you can pull it up and read it. And it's an interesting read. But yeah, I mean, you have the playbook as well, where you literally have everything you could imagine is in there. And it's like, I don't know that it'll ever work, but it was just one of those things, you know. It's, they brought it out right before, you know, as the series was going on. And it's like, all right, well, I'm a fan. I got to buy it, you know. And it also helped that my wife worked at Barnes & Noble, so got a discount on it too.
Nice. That's genuine. Joe, I want to put pictures up on that when I put this episode out. So send me some pictures of that, because that's incredible.
They did those two, and then they did the bro code for parents as well. What to expect when you're awesome. So yeah, I'll send you a picture of those.
That's so good, man. That is so, I love that. I love that. That's brilliant. Of course you should. Of course you'd print that. Why wouldn't you?
Exactly. It literally writes itself, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is it. Just put up the script. Absolutely brilliant. Whew, that's really taking me out of what I was saying before. That's, love it.
Sorry.
No, it's totally fine, man. I was just going to say, I think probably the most destructive one, and I think his biggest heartbreak, I mean, again, we talked about it on the last episode, was definitely Stella. You know, I mean, getting left at the altar, it doesn't get much more brutal.
I mean, unless you're left at the altar and then have not one, but two movies written about it, too.
Oh, yeah, and a hit musical, don't forget.
Yeah, and a hit musical, yeah. That was, what, 96 weeks or something like that.
Yeah. Talking about that episode where Ted goes to the movies, I think it's Judy Greer is his girlfriend in that episode, which is a great get. And, yeah, he has to sit through that awful retelling of the story, and I can't remember which actor is that plays him as Chris Kattan. That's it, as Jed Mosby or Mosley, and it's like it's Mosley, Jed Mosley. It's so good, and it is so cringy. But I don't know about you, mate. My heart went out to Ted in that episode. I was like, oh, that is brutal to have like the one of the most painful moments of your life rewritten and just publicly put out there for everyone to see, and it's not even at all accurate to what actually happened. Like, oh,
exactly. And then, you know, they're the no can do's little baby doll, and they're playing up the red cowboy boots all the time as well. That's it's always what he's wearing, you know.
Yeah,
it's super funny. But yeah, you're right, you do feel bad for Ted, because it's now this big blockbuster movie making millions upon millions of dollars, and it spawns a sequel, and they have the John Heder, who played Napoleon Dynamite, played Narshall.
Yeah, that's right.
As well, you know, at one point. And it's just like, that's another great get. But I mean, you definitely feel bad for Ted in a lot of ways, just seeing this public, you know, perception of him. And at the same time, he's sitting there going, no, this is me, and and no one wants to believe him either for the longest time too. But then it's like, oh wait, no, yeah, it is Ted, but not Ted, you know?
It's talk about salt in the wound. I mean,
absolutely, you know.
And I feel like, to be fair, like Stella is kind of the worst for him out of all of them, but I feel like it's 50-50, because she clearly never got over her, you know, her previous boyfriend and the father of her child, which you totally get. And
right, it was her one true love, you know, as Tracy said, you
exactly
know, you have one, and that was her one.
Yeah, and it feels again sort of similar to Zoe, like it's kind of a doomed one from the start, because he's pushing her to go on a date with him, and while you can see it as kind of sweet, and you know, yeah, he's going for it, and he's trying to show her that you can have this life again, you could have romantic interest, blah blah blah, it's also the other side of that is that he's clearly trying to force a relationship, and the deeper he gets into it, and like, you know, she lives outside of the city in the suburbs, and like the life that she has is completely different to the one that he has, and it's like there's no, again, you're watching it as an audience thinking, this isn't going to end well. Like, you don't know how, but you just know it's not going to end well.
Even right from the beginning, when he's like, well, let's date, you know, and she's like, well, no, I don't date, you know, patients and whatnot. And then it turns out that he's like, well, okay, let's not go on a date. And they do the quick little 2-minute date where they go see a movie, they go to dinner, they get dessert, you know, they have a little walk, and it's cute. And he's trying too hard.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, that's adorable. You know, I would love for someone to do that for me, type thing. But then it's like, no, this doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. It never works out.
Yeah.
You know, with those types of relationships.
It's because it's not sustainable.
No.
You know, grand gestures are nice and they're lovely, but you can't do them all the time. You know, it's just exhausting.
Well, that, and it becomes expected then. And then it's like, well, how do you keep one-upping the grand gesture. And to some degree, that's Barney too with the playbook. You know, how does he keep one upping himself? Mm. You know, and it they just become more and more elaborate till the point he gets to Robin. And then even then, you have the bachelor party for Barney, and then the reception dinner for Robin as well at the skating rink. You know, they had to keep one upping themselves.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Leading on to that, I don't know. I find it really interesting that they ended up pairing Barney and Robin together and getting him to a wedding. Because it's just, as you said, we know how it ends.
Right.
But I don't know. It felt like a really unusual pairing. I don't know about you watching it. I'm like, I just don't see this working, you know.
I mean, they're two alpha dogs, you know, essentially, where they're too similar. And, you know, usually it's, you're not going to marry someone who is the exact same as you.
Right.
And they even mention it all throughout that, well, no, this isn't going to work. This we're too similar, you know, but at the same time, you've had Barney pining over Robin for seasons, essentially. But he's trying to hide his emotions for her. And he has his own girlfriends at some points as well. Mm. And it's him kind of growing as a human being. And then eventually, of course, they do marry, and it's like, well, yeah, it was great at first, but then it wasn't. You know, we just realized we're too similar, and she's focused on her career, and I'm focused on my blog. You know? And it's just like, well, that's about it. You know, they're just gonna. It's time to call it quits.
And I feel like in the lead up, the final seasons, you know, it's funny. I think as a married man, I can tell you, you do learn along the way. Like no one has it perfect. Yeah. But I felt like when you're watching it, and I feel this is a very deliberate choice by the writers, that they were learning a lot of big lessons way too close to the day. Like there's certain things they were figuring out about each other and about themselves that I was just like, oh, that's, you don't want to be learning that like 10 hours before you're meant to be getting married. Like that stuff you figure out months, if not weeks, but, you know, like that, even then that's a bit close. Like that stuff you should have figured out a long time ago before you say yes.
Right. Exactly. And I would agree with that. You know, there's certain things that you want to know backstories. You want to know, you know, kind of where you came from in some ways. Mm. You know, there's definitely things like even just Robin's mom, you know, just that tiny little bit with her backstory of she hates flying and, you know, how she and her father, Robin's dad, how they split up and everything, how they were too not alike. And she's going on this big whole thing about, you know, your father was this, this, and this. And Robin's sitting there going, well, that's Barney.
Yeah.
Like, oh, crap, you know, and start to panic a little bit.
Yeah. And there's a lot of conversations where they're like, we're not going to work unless we do this or unless we figure this out. And I was just watching it like, ooh.
Well, and then, but then you also even have Robin or Barney's vows to Robin to never lie to her, which was great. And that should be a vow that everyone has when they get married. But it's like, yeah, he's miserable, you know, and he's like, I told you I'd never lie to you. And this is true. Like, so they get the divorce and it's like, oh man, because you wanted them to work because they genuinely did seem good together, but they also looked awful together as well. You know, it's one of those, like you were cheering for it to work. And then at the same time, you were kind of like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah. It's like you said before, it's people that are just too similar in that way. And of course they were going to clash. And I like your expression. Yeah. Two alpha dogs. Definitely.
Yeah,
but still, I mean, an interesting way for them to go. And then, of course, it leaves room open for the way the series ends, which is kind of a nice wrap up.
Right. Well, and the exciting thing about the, I mean, we had the series end, obviously, and they were originally going to try and do a show shortly thereafter that now is actually going to happen, which is How I Met Your Father.
Right. So is that connected in any way? Because I looked this up the other day and I couldn't see anything connecting it.
So from what I understand, and there's not a lot out there about it, it's supposed to be this kind of like in Marvel, you have the MCU, you know, it's the same timeline, but it's different.
Okay.
So it's supposed to be of the same ilk, if you will, but at the same time, it's the characters are not related in any way. I wouldn't be surprised if we see, you know, maybe one or two of the characters pop up, like even if it's just in the background.
Sure.
Would be kind of cool, like just to see like Jason Segel in the background of something, you know. But from what I understand, it's supposed to be completely different. And I'm almost wondering, because the episode with Tracy, where it was all Tracy centric, she ended up, she was at McLaren's, but she was at the wrong side of town one, that there's a second one. So I'm hoping that maybe they're at that second one.
Yeah.
You know, the north side or whatever it is, that maybe that's the McLaren's, they hang, if it's McLaren's that they hang out at, which would be kind of neat.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see. I think Hilary Duff's taking the lead in that one, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. And it's, they announced a couple of different actors and actresses, but we know their character names, but we don't know, you know, who is going to be the Ted, who's going to be the Robin, the you know, who are the fill-ins, and is it going to be an exact copy of the show, or is it going to be something completely different? I think it's going to be kind of in the middle is what I'm hoping for, where it has the feel, the nostalgia of the original,
right,
you know, How I Met Your Mother, but at the same time is something of itself, you know. And I'm hoping it goes around for another 9 seasons, because I'm fully invested, I'm ready for it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. I think that would be the best way to do it, because I mean, it's the kind of show, it, as we've talked about, it wraps up very nicely, so you don't need a follow-on, a direct follow-on, you know, like a sequel or a movie or anything like that,
right?
But yeah, something in the sort of the same universe, as you say, could be quite welcome, I think.
Yeah, and I believe it's still taking place in New York. It would have it would have been cool if they did a different city, but at the same time, I feel like New York is the perfect city for all of this to kind of happen, because you can almost believe that, you know, in some cities, you know, some of these things wouldn't necessarily occur, whereas New York is the city that never sleeps, you know. Right. So at any given time, even after 2 a.m anything can happen, you know.
Yeah, this is it. And I feel like, you know, you're now at this point as well where technology's moved forward, and we just pulled up the synopsis for this new series, and it mentions apps, you know, which in the series of How You Met Your Mother isn't really featured, because they weren't a thing, you know, when it's set in like that. Well, when it was filmed and set in the early 2000s, you know, a lot of that technology was a lot further down the road. So,
right.
So yeah, could get a different set of characters and stories and things from that angle. So
yeah, kind of bring it in more to the modern, you know, modern age, even though, yes, How I Met Your Mother was not that long ago, you know, not even 20 years yet. But at the same time, yeah, having like, you've got all the different dating apps and everything that exist out there, and do they work really? Do they not work? You know, I'm curious to see if they have a Barney type character who invents his own app of some sort, which I think would be kind of funny, you know.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's one of the cameos. I don't know, something out there like the Bro app or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, he's the inventor of it, you know, now that he's single again or something, you know. He invented it at some point that we didn't see it in the show,
right,
you know, necessarily, which would be kind of funny.
Who knows, but yeah, interested to see where it goes. But again, I'm glad you come back on to do all of this. Oh, one thing I just spotted, and I love this so much. Obviously, we get cameos from William Zabka. And yes. Who plays Danny DeRusso again? I've completely blanked his name.
Oh, Ralph Macchio.
Ralph Macchio, of course. Yeah.
Yep.
And I've heard through interviews with both of those guys, respectively, that apparently this was kind of the catalyst for getting Cobra Kai going. Like, this was the thing.
Really?
Yeah, so apparently, because them coming on, doing these fun cameos, and obviously the whole thing with Barney seeing William Zabka as this, like, the unsung hero of the story.
Right, yeah. That his character, Johnny, was the actual Karate Kid.
Right.
That he's the real hero.
And apparently the audience reaction to that was so positive that I think some of the writers or people kind of came to them later on and was like, hey, we're thinking of doing this series. And they thought, well, there's clearly an interest for it. And,
right,
you know, the ball sort of got rolling from there. And now here we are with it on Netflix, 3 seasons in, and it's incredible.
Yeah, I think they just renewed it for the 5th season already, too, ahead of the 4th season that's coming out, which is awesome. I personally haven't watched it yet because I've kind of become one of those people who I want something to be over before I start binging. You know, but there, I mean, there's been some shows that I've started that are continuing and still, but it's, if I'm going to go binge something like a Breaking Bad, you know, I didn't watch it live, but I've binged it and that was great.
Same.
You know, and I feel like to some degree, just like we mentioned earlier about this show, it's sometimes better to binge it because you get more involved with the story and you remember things a little bit more than spreading it out over the course of, you know, 8 or 9 years or whatever.
Yeah, that's true, man. And I'll tell you this, it's one of those shows that it's so easy to watch. I think myself and Abigail got through, like, I think the first 2 seasons were available and we just flew through them. And then thankfully the third one came along pretty shortly after. But now we're in that position where we're like, oh, when's the next one?
Yep. Well, I think it's coming out soon, at least here in the States. I think it's out soon.
I think it is.
So I don't know what the timeline is for you guys overseas and everything, but I would assume around the same time.
I would have thought so. Hopefully. I would have thought so. But yeah, I kind of love that. I love that this show is in a way responsible for that as well. That sort of cultural touchstone, you know?
Yeah, I didn't know that. So you just kind of blew my mind a little bit.
That's only because I heard them mention it in an interview and I thought, that's really cool. And it makes sense because it's a really fun gag. And both Billy Zabka and Ralph Macchio are really funny in their episodes when they do turn up.
Exactly. So, and I appreciate that Billy Zabka kind of gets a little bit more, you know, airtime. You know, that he's around for the wedding and everything as well, just because he's like, well, Barney gets me. He understood I wasn't the bad guy.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like, but everyone knows you're the bad guy, but you're not.
He writes poetry, you know.
He writes poetry. Exactly. And he goes on to win an award and everything, and everyone loves him for it eventually.
Yeah, this is it. So much fun, man. So good. Just what a show. Again, I had so much fun going through it properly and giving it its sort of due credit. And yeah, I highly recommend it, as we did the last time, really, anyone listening. If you're listening to this and you haven't seen it by now, you've watched into 2 episodes on it.
and you've heard a lot of spoilers,
too. Oh, yeah. We've talked about everything in detail, but yeah. Just go and watch it anyway, you know, because...
Yeah, go watch it. It's to me, the best sitcom that has ever existed, in my opinion. You know, and that's saying a lot.
Cool.
But I know that there's a lot of great ones out there, but to me, this just has all the heart and emotion that you want, all the comedy you want. It's a perfect story, and it doesn't matter, you know, guys, girls, whoever, it's just the perfect show for anybody. Maybe not kids, but
yeah maybe not. There's some sort of inappropriate stories there, but okay, I kind of love that they call themselves out from that in the show as well.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like,
why are you telling your kids this story? No, that reminds me of the I just flashed, there's that Lin-Manuel Miranda cameo
on the bus
with all the rhymes. See, that's so good. But again, there's lots of little things like this that I think are great in this show. It's, yeah, a really entertaining show. Never gets boring. It's, yeah, absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, it keeps you kind of glued. You want to see what's going to happen next and where is this all leading to, you know, which is ultimately obviously a great job on the writers for keeping you entertained and keeping you glued to the show as well.
This is it. Absolutely wonderful. Well, oh, Ryan, I mean, unless there's anything else you wanted to talk about, my friend, anything in your notes?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything that I had written down.
Cool.
Actually, there was one little thing.
Go on,
I just looked at my note and saw it. There was a moment where they're referencing, Lily does this, and I thought this was awesome. She references this Eastern European girl, and she says her name is Nadia.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is the best call out to American Pie that they put into the show that you don't even realize. And it's just like the fact that she uses the name Nadia, and it's like, that was awesome. So I saw that on my list here, and I just wanted to get that in there because I thought that was just neat that it was they used that particular name. And I you have to think that was absolutely deliberate too, that it wasn't anything else, you know. So yeah, I wanted to bring that one up.
Cool. There you go. Yeah, that's another little Easter egg for you guys. Brilliant. Well, listen, I mean, it's a pleasure as always, Ryan. I mean, why don't you tell the good people where they can find you if they don't already know?
Yeah, so you can find myself. I'm at on Twitter and Instagram at Bearded Rhino. It's RYNO 15. I also have a podcast as well called The Basement Podcast. We actually just launched. Mm-hmm. On Twitter, we're at it's the_basement_pod. And on Instagram, it's basement_pod.
Brilliant. And make sure all the links are in there for people to go and find. Yep. But Ryan, thanks so much for coming back on.
Absolutely. I'd love to come back on another time too, sometime.
Always welcome, my friend.
All right.
And there we have it. Thank you so much to Ryan for coming back onto the podcast and talking all things How I Met Your Mother. If by now you don't know where to go and find Ryan and his podcast, The Basement Podcast, then head into the show notes. I've put all the links in there for you to go and find him and the show. It's definitely worth your time checking out. As well as that, if you enjoy the artwork that you see for this podcast, then definitely head to the show notes as well, because I have all the details for our wonderful artist, Alex, in there too. If you are enjoying the podcast, then by all means, let me know. You can reach me in the social media links. They're both Instagram and Twitter, respectively, as well as good old-fashioned email. I respond to everything you send me. Any and all feedback is greatly appreciated. And if you'd like to go that one step further, leave me a lovely 5-star review on your favorite podcatcher, well, I would be really touched if you did so. And of course, I will give you a shout out on this podcast. It is the least that I could do. That is it from me. I'll be back again in a few days' time with the final episode of the sitcom summer series. So until then, stay tuned and stay safe.